Don, 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 thank you, Don. This is Gijs Minderhout calling in from Magalia, California. Monday evening. It is this, not December, it is January the 2nd, 2017. Welcome to this episode of another talk with Winfrey here tonight. I have not seen the announcement yet, so I don't know what the topic is. It's a wild card tonight, I guess. And Happy New Year to you all. This is as usual a simulcast with a conference call. So we have May here with us tonight so far, but it's the only person here other than myself, believe it or not.
No, we have the Elohim and the Ra'ans and all the positive energies.
Yes.
Now, is my time wrong or is VBS coming on early?
They come in a few minutes. Right now it's 5:57 Pacific.
Okay, so I'm not that far off. Okay.
All right.
No, we always have the positive people with us.
Yep.
But I'm going to go finish cutting up my fruits and vegetables.
All right. Thank you so much for being here, May, and Happy New Year. I hope you'll gain in your health and things will be okay for you in 2017.
I'm breathing.
As long as you're breathing.
Thank you for that song. I need to learn how to break my anchor strings that they're talking about. There must be a way to do this.
Yes.
But, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to go do my veggies. But I'll be here. If you need anything, just holler my name.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you, Heis.
All right. So we're about 2 minutes away from the hour, and we'll wait for more people to join in here on the live call. Let's see, I'll play another tune. As we wait for more people to show up. Hello, good evening to you. Happy New Year. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Mark from New York.
Hello, welcome to the call. It's Mark, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Welcome. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yes, hi. Happy New Year to you. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Thank
welcome.
You.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Catherine from California.
Hi, Catherine. Welcome. Good evening
Hi.
To you.
Thank you.
And all those folks that are joining in online through BBS Radio, thank you much for participating with this episode. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Hey, Jeannie. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Welcome back, Terry. How are you?
Thank you. I'm just fine. Hi.
All right. Good to have you. Somebody else joined. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Wade, North Carolina.
Welcome to the call, Wade.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Hi, it's Lori from Portland.
Is it Lori?
Lori, yeah.
Welcome to the call, Lori. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
All right.
Good evening. This is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Welcome. How are you?
Pretty good.
All right. Is it still wet out in Sedona?
Yeah, it's been raining off and on.
All right.
How about where you are?
We have also on and off rain yesterday also. It was nice earlier this week, but it had quite a bit of rain already this rain season. So, yeah, looking good.
Good, good. Yeah, you had some earthquakes there.
Did we? I don't know. I didn't feel anything shaking.
Yeah, we did.
They were small.
When people join in, welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
That's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you. Good evening.
All right. Good evening to the next caller. Please say a name and location.
Hi, Heinz. It's Dave.
Hey, Steve. Welcome to the call.
No, Dave.
Dave.
Get that wax out of your ear.
What do you say, Wynn?
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, everyone. Hello.
Dave, I welcome you, my friend.
Dave, you didn't win the lottery yet, did you?
No.
Good evening. Welcome. Please say a name and location.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Susan. Dave, maybe we should send you some $5 bills, and that would bring good luck.
How about $100 bills?
That's better.
Do they play $100 bills with the slot machine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They do. Okay. We are not ready, so we can start.
Okay. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and everyone everywhere, and welcome tonight. And my God, we are like walking around with phones in our ears. we're going to do tonight another session of how the Elohim created the universe. Now, this is a channeling session. This is always, for me anyway, one of the most fascinating shows because we get insight into the way everything works, the way it's put together, the way energy flows. You know, I was reading today one of the old sessions that I did. I don't know if you guys ever read this. I think it's in the book, the Reincarnate, no, the Creator God book, okay? And reading just even the early sessions through Daphne. I'll read a little bit. I'll get us warmed up to talking to them. Why is it that on this level, people cannot connect with or experience their connection with divine source? The answer, because there are veils in place in this level and continue to be until you reach fifth and sixth density. You have chosen this as part of your evolutionary makeup, part of the divine. So we have chosen to move, and what they're saying here, let's just say what they're saying is, we have chosen to have veils in place Now, I think a good question is, why would someone choose to have veils? Now, I could imagine an answer. I'll see if I remember to ask that. If someone is living within their veils, what can they do to penetrate through their veils? What kind of exercise, if they have decided this is something they would like to lift above? Now, this was a great answer. First, there must be intention. Then there must be persistence. Then there must be vision of that which could be beyond the veil. These combined provide the backdrop for further dissolution of the mental structures holding in a person. Now, just remember, this was like really early on in my discussions with them. I think it was the first 6 months. And I'm trying to ask myself, who are these guys? Is this for real? And to me, it's like first there must be intention. In other words, you want to penetrate the veil. Then there must be persistence. You don't give up. You have to keep working at it. And then there must be vision of that which could be beyond the veil. Well, what's the vision of what's beyond the veil? To me, it looks like you start to see the law of one. You start to see the energy that works through everyone. And you start to experience yourself as directly, not as an idea, but as a part of the one infinite creator and all that is. The next question, many entities might be highly skeptical that such a council could be actually paying attention to these things on such an individual level with so many billions of people on this planet. Could you describe how that process works, how that noticing takes place? Now remember, many of us have had the experience of being noticed, experience of making a connection with them. This was before any of that, and I asked that question. We see you as energy systems, as energy circuits. When there are particularly bright spots, we know to pay attention to these. The bright spots are indicative that a person in your density has tapped into the greater collective field and thus accessing consciously the required information to further free themselves from the confines of third density. In this manner, we are able to pay attention to those among billions who are able to make the initial sojourn into the greater developmental entities awaiting higher galactic consciousness connection. That was an awesome answer. They're saying how they see us. Many entities might be highly skeptical that such a council could be actually paying attention to these things on such an individual level with so many billions of people on this planet. Could you describe a little bit how that process works, how that noticing takes place? We see you as energy systems, as energy circuits. When there are particularly bright spots, we know... Oh, I already said that, didn't I? Okay, I read that. That was the answer. Okay. What is the way to communicate the petition to you. In other words, to petition them for something. To ask it verbally, to write it down, what's the best way? It's not connected. It's connected not with the means of how you do it, but in your intentions. And you're directing the question to us, no matter what way you do it, in writing or verbal. Of course, when you write it, you think it, so that's a double way. The nature of your connecting by your intention to us is also connected with the way you would direct us to the party which you want to ask the questions about, so whatever means you choose to do it. Wait a second. In researching the Elohim, they were described as one of the creator gods of the solar system. Are we talking to the same Elohim? We are a division of what you would say. How is the Elohim connected with the evolution of the human race? Now, this is an amazing answer. We are a soul group whose purpose is to bring life and life forms to planets such as Earth. We then work with the life forms in the hope that the independent life forms will align themselves with higher interdimensional energies with the purpose of bringing heaven into the third dimension and transmuting third dimensional experience into a fruitful playing ground for learning the lessons of love, bringing wiser entities back into the fourth and fifth dimension. Are you ready, Terry?
Not really, but...
Not really.
I'm really here.
It's a little bit daunting to read that, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It's really good.
It's really good. Yeah. And it's kind of amazingly well put and succinct, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I could read some of your stuff, too, and it would sound just as good. It's just, it comes at a different angle. But, you know, that was one of the things that came through very early on when they had said they were the Elohim, and I looked up the word Elohim, and I came up with all this amazing stuff, and it was hard to believe they were the same Elohim, okay? It really was. But I asked those questions, and their answers kind of blew my mind at the time. They were so expressive and clear as to who they were and how they function. So we're going to be talking to them again right now.
Was that brought to Daphne, those answers?
I believe so. I believe it was very early on through Daphne, yeah. So,
okay.
By the way, I want to make one comment. Any of you that were on the Whole Planet Healing yesterday, I'm sorry I took so long. It was an inspired moment. I was getting into cleaning up the bedroom and taking walks together, and it was flashing to me all these things that we could be doing to help better anchor our energies. And I've come to realize that when you hit an inspired moment and you don't go into it, you lose it. It just goes away. You see, when I was writing songs and I have a song going through my head and think I'd get to it later, I lose it. and lose it. So I stayed with the moment, and I know many of you really enjoyed it. We had a beautiful energy on that call prior to going into it, but I don't plan to do that very often. I won't promise I'll never do it again, but and if you're getting impatient and I go into that, I'm going to be sure only to do that very occasionally, so you can just hang up and come back the next day and say, this is one of those days that Wynn is screwing up. I don't want to say I'll never do it, just for the reason I said. There's a moment of inspiration where you start, where my mind starts putting things together, and I see it really clearly, and I know if I don't follow it, I'll miss it, okay? All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that our positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Fra On. We are an aspect of the Elohim group and of the God group. And we come in and focus in and are available to answer your questions. This is a topic dear to our heart, the creation of the universe. And if we ever see anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it. This is not for you at that time. Do you have questions?
Yeah, as I understand it, at one point there was not a manifest universe. There was, shall we say, energy forms, awarenesses, consciousness, and there were a lot of them. And prior to that, there was one awareness, which was the one infinite, which is referred to as the one infinite creator. And perhaps prior to that, I don't know if there was a prior to that, but if there was a prior to that, there was chaos. But I'm not sure, if you don't have time, how you're going to have prior. But is that generally accurate, what I just described?
As you back up in time, before the creation of the universe, there was potential. There was, before that, there was a nothingness. We stopped for a minute on the word nothingness. Unless you have two, then we seek slowly to get this concept across. Unless you have two, you cannot have the manifest, because you need a recipient, a screen, a duality in order for there to be manifestation. If there is only one, you have no observer. You have nothing for anything to be written on, anything to be manifested through. So, before the beginning of the universe, there was nothing. However, there was the potential for something. There were basics, basic fundamentals that could be exercised, that would allow, when exercised, for the manifest realm to occur.
So
when you talk about chaos, there was a time of chaos. However, at a very deep level, it is all in place. There is potential, and there is nothing manifest yet.
So the first original awareness was the one infinite creator, if I'm saying
yes.
that correctly.
And yes.
Did it create itself, since there had to be two for something to create itself, and maybe I've got that wrong, did the one infinite creator create itself against the polarization of nothingness or chaos in order to come into awareness?
Awareness was brought about by spinningness. Spinningness brings elements together that focalize consciousness. Before that, there is potential. Then all is one, and when you bring a spinningness in, it focalizes the facilities of the one infinite creator, focuses it in to an outlet for manifestation in the universal realm. Before that, there is a unfocused consciousness, but there is no way to bring it into play until you begin to start a spinning action. This can be a storm. This can be a molecule, of this can be an atom, a spinningness begins to bring in a focalized consciousness, which then can be built upon. There becomes two focalized consciousnesses, and they can begin to communicate.
So the fine point between nothingness, a one infinite creator, the flow between nothingness, one infinite creator, and Elohim, could you explain that a little bit? there have to be slight bits of intentions each part of the way to create the spinningness to lead to the next creation aspect. I'm trying to feel it intuitively. And so it was all these little intentions grouping together and creating the next thing. Is that something like it?
If you notice storm spin, and if you notice tornado spin, molecule spin, atom spin, galaxy spin, there are spinningnesses within spinningnesses which bring forth opportunities for shared communication, for shared consciousness, for the bringing through of consciousness of the one infinite creator. At the start, there were no spinningnesses. However, there was an intention to try things, to try to get a flow going, to move, to break through into an individual consciousness that begins to spin and begins to have then awareness. And as awareness comes forth, they realize, the one realizes that it can spin the other itself. It can spin whatever is available. Once the concept of spinning came forth, it spread very fast. It was like a delight, like a top, like a toy. And the result was life.
The idea of awareness of spinningness, starting out with the one infinite creator and then going on with the Elohim, they were being created out of spinningness, and they created the universe out of spinningness, so to speak.
It is a Zen conundrum. How can there be when there is nothing? And how can potential exist in the middle of nothing? How can the divine exist in the middle of nothing? How can an individual exist? An individual begins to be a composite of energies acting in synchronization that can begin to experience life and can begin to know about his creations and the bringing forth of love and what are the best creations, the most fulfilling creations. And you begin to have fulfillment, the potential for fulfillment in the nothingness. It is a development from nothing to potential within the nothing to an individual presence in the nothing and a gradual building, partly through trial and error, of what can be built. The principles are laid down. The manifestation within the third density or the higher densities are a result of intentions of beings being created and beginning to build together and to learn the lessons of how to operate within the laws that have been laid down, the potentials that have been laid down, and the learning of what brings fulfillment, what brings isolation, what brings lonesomeness, what is the best intentions that lead to fulfillment. Christ consciousness is a distillation of the best that there is that lead to fulfillment. Shared love, the knowledge that within the one, within the manifestation of the physical universe, there can be a building of oneness. Getting back to the oneness, understanding the love, the unique principles of one that bring you back home and fulfill you.
I have the feeling that there is a connection with spinningness, the idea of spinningness with each human, that on some level, we're obviously got atoms and molecules and everything spinning and solar systems spinning and the earth spinning and the moon rotating. So
and chakra systems within the body spinning.
Yes. And so we are in the middle of spinning movement everywhere.
Yes,
everything.
That is creating the phenomena of life.
Yes. And when we want to make a shift, when we want something to change, on some level, we have to change the way we manifest spinningness, and I don't think we can do that on a conscious level, although there have been people that have done a technique which I'm not even sure if it was positive, but the idea was to spin your energy field to create connection to holograms in higher dimensions. And that is the only reference, or Sufi dancers who spin to create a connection with higher dimensions. So those are the two ways that I can think of people that have consciously tried to adopted the idea of spinningness to move energy and move intentions to some level.
Sergius has watched Sufi dance. Sergius was a philosopher, a mystic, that learned how to create by force from spinning techniques. So if an area of a body, say, has died, and it is not gone too long, spinning this can again bring life back into that limb. Centers of spinningness that then get the molecules and the atoms spinning again, bringing back life into that limb.
Well, Terry had an experience with that. I remember when she had it, and it was kind of amazing, where she brought energy into her hip that was supposedly needed a hip replacement, and she didn't get it.
The X-ray showed the hip had died.
Yes. And when
the X-ray showed the hip had come back to life.
When we do many exercises of sending the light and sending the light to each other, and you know, we do our whole planet healing every day. Is there a way to create an energy of spinningness to make our intentions more effective?
In the creation of light, when the creation of light is sent, it is the intersection of the spirit with the manifest realm, and it brings light into the individual and helps reestablish light and life into an area that they are intending, that they wish to go better or develop or change.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, when my sister had the lupus disappear from her bloodstream, and the Elohim took credit for that, was the Elohim, or a part, was it a group of Elohim or one Elohim that was working and creating a spinning frequency from your level into her physical body?
It was a clearing of a anomaly of spinning that was not beneficial. It was clearing and the taking over of the larger, healthy spin that was needed to heal her.
So, I still can't visualize it intuitively, but it's very hard to even visualize you guys intuitively, because there's no anchors in this realm for understanding how it would feel to be you and operating in the way you do.
We are anchors.
Our presence brings
an anchoring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are not caught up in the anchoring. We do not become anchors for ourselves and then the effect of it. We are merely able to create the desired anchoring and to change with the moment, to change with the time as needed.
Mm-hmm.
We do not get caught up in the anchoring as everything is moving on.
Mm-hmm. While we're talking, I can feel a presence inside me or an energy moving around me, which I've learned to identify as you. And I'll bet you other people are feeling it as well if they look at it.
Yes.
Is there a
We are able to manifest in an energy body that brings an anchoring or is able to operate in the third density or higher, but does not have to stay in the manifest form.
Mm-hmm. So every human, at least if paying attention to our calls, wants to know, probably wants to know, how do I recreate myself? How do I take advantage of this connection? How do I utilize the awareness of spinningness and Elohim so that I can become more of who I am? And each person is coming from their track, from their past. They've got a structure, an energetic structure. They certainly have a body structure, but they have an energetic structure with the body structure that is keeping itself, for, you know, to some degree, fairly rigid. How does a human, with their intention and their creative abilities, shift their track energetic structure? So if they have a vision of who they'd like to be, they can do that.
Keep their intention, their focus, their mind on the goal. Keep the outcome that one desires in mind. And then do not worry about the individual spinniness or what is necessary to make it happen. It will backtrack through the things that need to happen to make it happen, and it will come about if you keep your eye on the goal. Then the universe will put things in place that are necessary, so you do not need to worry about the details.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of having your mind holding the vision, seeing what you want, seeing yourself healed, seeing yourself abundant, seeing yourself in a loving environment, and whatever happens, to not let go of that vision.
Right. And then the universe will set up circumstances so that it may happen for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's not the Elohim that does that. The universe is designed to track us so that if we hold the energy, the universe has to respond.
Yes.
And because we are creating ourselves with the universe. It's not like the Elohim is doling out rewards for people asking for things. It's
that
like
is correct.
The universe is our helper, so to speak.
Yes.
It is your anchor.
It is the materials, the energies that go into your creation.
Yes. So every day when we do whole planet healing and we keep reiterating all of these visions, then we are working in tandem with the universe.
Yes.
It's exactly the right procedure.
Yes.
Right?
And then we also, the Elohim group, can lend energy to the manifestation if it is for the higher good.
Mm-hmm. And the Raw Group, I assume.
Yes.
Well. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And so this is where what we perceive as miracles happen, when
yes.
we get everything going in our flow and we keep the highest good of all concerned, then we can become, how would I say it, a creation machine, so to speak.
Yes, you are a creation machine.
Yeah, and I would guess that Jesus was probably a creation machine who
he understood. He grasped the big picture.
Yes. And so he knew how to work this realm with his intentions for the highest good, and the universe would support it. So he could do continuous, miraculous phenomena.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eye on the goal.
Now, how do you deal with when you have a goal and you have a vision and the people around you keep pulling you off? Now, I assume you got to create the whole thing strong enough so the people around you become part of the creation, not part
yes,
of
keep,
pulling you
keep,
off.
Keep the goal in your own consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's always free will, so no one is forced into anything.
But that's right.
If your vision is strong enough and there's joy in the middle of your vision, then people are attracted to it. Yes?
Yes, and if they are, they will drop away.
Yeah. Okay. And we got 6 minutes. This is a great conversation. Thank you so much. Let me ask a couple questions about my conversation with Yeshua. He said a couple of things that were kind of interesting. One of them had to do with, and maybe you could explain this so I can understand it better, in the idea of reincarnation, he was saying, he seemed to say, that it really wasn't linear. In other words,
yes.
He was talking about Jerry Friedman and saying that kind of Jerry Friedman was an aspect of Matthew, but there were other people who were aspects of Matthew, and that maybe anyone that could tune into Matthew could suddenly add Matthew's energy to them. But I'm not sure I got that correctly, but could you just comment on the nature of reincarnation and the way a soul moves through lifetimes as an integrous individual entity or something other?
All is in the now. Everything occurs in the now. And in your individual life, you have yesterday, and then you go to sleep, and then you have today, and then you go to sleep, and you have tomorrow. And it is similar with reincarnation. And one, when they take on a body, they have the aspect of the genetics of the parents, of the
passed down from person to person, to the father, to the child, from the mother to the child, passed down aspects of that genetic line. These are often in the same, perhaps even genetic line, as the person in the past trap. So that if you are, say, a child who is born to a mother whose father has died, they are in the same genetic line as the father . The history is then re-experienced in the life of the person. The person could have been related in the genetic past to the person one is now re-experiencing as being the creation of. You have the experience of the original person that one is the reincarnation of, and one, through genetics and through inclination and through even the experience of the past person, is taking it on in the current lifetime. And it is all one. To understand it, it is similar to yesterday and today and tomorrow. However, it is all being created at the same time. It is a concept that is difficult sometimes to understand. We hope that shed some light on it.
Well, let me ask a specific question, or a more refined question. We have a couple minutes here. Question is, we have a physical body, which is the product of genetics, product
yes.
of the parents, product of the environment. And then we have an energy body, which you can call the soul body. And then the soul comes to occupy the physical body.
Correct, and chooses that physical body based upon the coincidence of energies.
Yes. So now the soul is kind of molding itself, because the soul is kind of fluid. Its physical body is solid, but the soul is more energetic, and it's molding itself into this physical body, okay?
Yes.
And then when the physical body dies, the soul has been programmed by the experience of itself in this body. And then it goes
yes.
on to more amorphous and comes back in another physical body. Now, can a soul occupy more than one body?
Yes.
Can somebody hook into the energy of a soul, and because they study it and they study the previous lifetime, they end up connecting with the energy of that soul?
They can do that, yes.
Is it common for a soul to occupy more than one body?
But the individual who's doing it is common.
And is it possible for a body, for a very advanced person, to bilocate? And that means the soul has to go somewhere else and create the appearance of another body. People have talked about that, but I've never asked, is it really possible?
It is possible. Yes.
And that has happened, yes?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to end this session now, and we're going to go to Whole Planet Healing. And you can please come with us. Don't go away. Right? And if anyone is listening and doesn't know how to get to Whole Planet Healing, just go to wholeplanethealing.com, wholeplanethealing.com, and you'll get the phone number and the access number. And we'll see you in just a minute or two. Thank you.